this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour, with your host, Bruce Robertson. Today, we're going to discuss America's fall from grace and how we might get it back. But first, let's do a quick rundown of the week's major hot news items. Breaking story this week was the Arizona Supreme Court allowed near-total Arizona abortion ban created in 1864 to go into effect. And that reverses the appeals court ruling recently. Now, that's an interesting thing, and that's going to really please, I think, pro-life supporters. But it's going to anger and, it's going to unhinge the pro-death contingent in our nation. You know, we have people that are pro-abortion that don't even qualify to get an abortion. We have women past childbearing age that are adamant about getting abortions. I mean, they think it's a woman's right to choose. Well, do we have a right really to choose over another life? Do we have that? Is that playing God or is it not? You think about that, okay? Life is life. When someone takes out a pregnant woman in a car accident, it's considered a double homicide, okay? When someone kills a pregnant woman, it's considered a double murder. But yet, when someone kills just the baby, it's considered a woman's right to choose. There's something logically and psychologically wrong with that picture, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Donald Trump this week made a two-word post on Truth Social just the other day. The two words that he posted were very simple. It said, capital letters, Biden trials. Biden trials. Did you notice that? Did you see that post on Truth Social from Trump? Biden trials. What did he mean? Perhaps we'll soon see. But what I found interesting is at the same time, Russia said it was opening a probe on Western nations financing terrorism by sending funds to Ukraine. Russia said that the funds that were received in Ukraine are being run through U.S. firms as conduits. And one of those U.S. firms is a company with links to Hunter Biden. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the official public comments that have been being made by Russia and Vladimir Putin over the last couple of years, but I have, and I'll tell you, you might be pretty hard-pressed to fact-check those statements and comments as being false or misleading. I mean, they've been pretty spot-on. You know, I'm not going to come down on either side of whether I, you know, support Russia or Putin. I mean, you know, it's a foreign country. They do things that are in their own interest, just like we do. But I've got to say that his comments have been fairly rational and balanced, and they make an awful lot of sense in light of what I see going on geopolitically in the world. And, we should give some weight to what a country like Russia says in a public forum, just like we should give some weight to what they said at the United Nations and calling for various investigations, because they have a right, just like every other nation, to be heard. And so, you know, the media may say that, oh, he's just pushing propaganda. They're trying to tie him in to the former Soviet activity in that nation, you know, which maybe was heavily propagandized, I think it was. But, you know, he's been pretty rational. His interview with Tucker Carlson He came out and gave a sweeping history of Russia and Ukraine, and made, I think, a very good case for why Russia has some business with Ukraine, and it's old history with Ukraine and long standing, because Kiev was originally the foundation of all things Russian, including culture and religion. So, there's some points to be made there, and I think he made some very good ones. Now, here's some sad news. It's been confirmed that the COVID mRNA vaccines contain a component that suppresses the immune response and stimulates cancer growth. It doesn't look very good for the COVID vaccinated folks. There have been spikes in rapid cancer growth that some people are calling turbo cancer. It's never been seen before. It's never been to this extent. And it should be closely examined as coinciding with the vaccine rollouts. And we'll report more on that as we have been all along since the whole COVID thing began. And here's a good one. Here's a story. A high school student was hit this week with a suspension from school after saying the words illegal alien. This is completely unhinged and insane. A 16-year-old student at Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina, received a 3-day suspension after spouting the term illegal alien. The student's use of the term arose during an English class vocabulary exercise that included the word alien, prompting him to ask, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? A confrontation ensued with another student, and that led to the teacher summoning the assistant principal to the classroom, who ultimately deemed the term, quote, offensive and disrespectful, unquote, toward Hispanic classmates, and that resulted in this boy's suspension. The student defended his actions, stating he was asking a question and not making a statement directed toward anyone. Highlighting that the term illegal alien is commonly used and can be found in the dictionary. The suspension could potentially impact this young man's student academic record and jeopardize his aspirations for an athletic scholarship. So we have this situation. What are we going to do about it? What are they going to do about it? Despite efforts to resolve the situation, the assistant principal has refused to remove the infraction from the student's record. Elon Musk weighed in on the situation and called the incident absolutely absurd. And I tend to agree with him. It seems like every day, folks, we're told to respect people's pronouns. We're told to not assume genders. We're told, we're given all these orders about how we have to treat someone else, but they don't even respect our ability to use common dictionary terms. The Supreme Court dropped a bomb this week. In fact, one of the Supreme Court justices dropped a bomb this week on the Department of Justice's case against the J6 protesters. Justice Neil Gorsuch stole the show and took the limelight during arguments in Fisher versus U.S. Fisher, who's a former police officer, faces 20 years in prison after spending just 4 minutes inside the Capitol. But something brilliant suddenly happened. The DOJ is using a statute called, quote, obstructed a congressional proceeding, unquote, as a means to put J6 protesters behind bars for 20 years. They want to lock these people up and throw away the key, folks. It doesn't fit their narrative not to do so. However, plus they get to smear Trump with it, by the way. So, however, Gorsuch pointed out several left-wing folks who themselves obstructed a congressional proceeding, but did not receive a 20-year sentence. So, he's kind of hinting at where's the equal protection here under the law. And he cited the unlawful sit-ins during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings in 2018 that disrupted the proceedings. He cited Congressional Rep. Jamal Bowman, Democrat from New York, of all places, who pulled a fire alarm to prevent a critical vote from happening at Congress because they had to evacuate. That certainly obstructed a congressional proceeding. Nothing happened to him. Then we have hecklers disrupting the State of the Union address. That's an official proceeding. Nothing happened to them. And then we have the mostly peaceful BLM riots, where they burned down some of our major cities, including Washington, D.C., by the way. And those riots obstructed our government from proceeding in many cases. So let's just say things did not go well this week for Department of Justice Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar. And it looks like we may see some sort of reprise and relief on the J6 protester charges and penalties. Let's hope so. That story's developing and we'll see how it goes. The Supreme Court's in session on this. So, with that being said, we're going to go to a break shortly. But I wanted to talk to you since I brought up the vaccine, the mRNA vaccine, which creates spike proteins. I wanted to bring up one of our sponsors who I respect very much. And that's the product is called Spike Support Formula. And it's a supplement from the wellness company, the Wellness Signature Series, which inhibits spike effects. It inhibits blood vessel blockage and supports T cell activity, which is just what people who got the vaccine need right now to support their immune system. This product is an excellent product. It's gluten-free, it's vegan, it's non-GMO, and it's American-made. So I would suggest you go if you're interested in this, if you're interested in your health at all, even if you don't have the vaccine, but if you do have the vaccine, you can really boost your chances of not getting sicker from the vaccine, I think, by taking this spike support formula because it supports your immune system. And it's available at AmericaOutloud.shop. And if you use the product code OUTLOUD, you'll receive an additional 25% off your purchase. So go to AmericaOutloud.shop and see all the great products that we have from our wonderful sponsors. And now we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the economy. Stay with us.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to Unleashed. I'm your host, Bruce Robertson. Before we left for the break, I said we're going to talk about the economy in this segment a little bit and some other things. So, how is the economy? Let's take a look. if you ask Biden and the Biden administration, they say it's great. Everything's great. They say unemployment is down, jobs are up, the stock market is high, almost at all-time highs. I mean, everything's great, right? But is it really? Is it really? Let's look behind the numbers a little bit, because they like to blow smoke. They're gaslighting on the economy right now. And, you know, being an economist, I could tell you that this is complete gaslighting, because you dig into the numbers and you find a different story. OK, let's fact check the Biden administration and do a quick price check on our economy during recent months and over the years. So gasoline right now is up 47.8%. Now, I would argue that it's up even more than that, because I remember that during the Trump administration, it was about $1.85 a gallon. Okay. I just drove past the gas station today and it was $3.79. And you can pay as much as $5 a gallon or in the high fours for premium gasoline. So that's huge. Groceries are up 21%. I was in the grocery store just the other day, over the weekend, and, you know, a half a gallon of milk is $7.99, okay? I mean, I remember not long ago during the Trump administration, a half a gallon of milk. Now, this is, you know, I buy the good stuff, right? It's grass-fed. It's, you know, grass milk is a great product, I think. And I don't want to endorse them, but that's what I drink. And the grass-fed milk is $7.99 for a half gallon. And, you know, it was in the fours and maybe creeping up to around five during the Trump administration. So it's, you know, groceries may be up 21%, but grass milk is up almost 50%. So that's another thing. Eggs are higher. Everything is higher. Beef is higher. All the things in the grocery store, a loaf of bread is more. So, you know, we're seeing major inflationary increases. Dining out. Do you like to go out to dinner, folks? I mean, dining out, the official number is up 21.4%. But depending on where you go, it could be a lot more. I mean, I seem to remember that you could get out of a decent restaurant for, you know, $60, $70 for two people in many cases if you don't drink a lot of alcohol. But now you can't get out of a restaurant, at least in Florida, in South Florida, a decent restaurant, for sometimes close to $200, okay? $170, $160, you know, maybe each have one drink or a glass of wine, and that is the price. So it's more than doubled again, but they generally dining out is up 21.4%, so I guess that includes less expensive restaurants. Now we have that. What about baby food? Baby food is up 30.5%. Pet food is up 23.7%. Rent, 20.9%. Electricity, 28.3%. Natural gas, up 26.9%. Used cars are up 20.9%. And again, there's a number that I think is up even higher, because I was just at a dealership, and I couldn't believe how much they were selling used cars for. Now, this particular dealership has a shortage, and they can't get vehicles because they're so popular in Florida. This particular vehicle, I'm not going to name the name, but it's a fairly expensive SUV, and it, you know, they've always been pricey, but you know, they had one on the sales floor. I drive one, okay? And they had one on the sales floor that's three times what I paid for mine just a couple of years ago. So I don't understand. I mean, you know, people are willing to pay, for example, you know, over $100,000 for a used car. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know if they're willing to pay it. I don't know if they're getting it, but they're certainly asking that price. So used cars are up a lot. How about auto insurance? Auto insurance is up 22%. That's the biggest one-year spike since 1977, folks. That's a long time ago, 1977, during the Carter administration. Can you believe that? Airfare up 32.7%. 32.7%. Have you booked an airfare ticket lately? I mean, I remember when you used to be able to fly around the country for about $150, $170, $180. You would take a flight, you know, point to point domestically. And now you can pay as much as $400 for that same ticket. So that's more than 32%. Meanwhile, real average weekly earnings, behind the numbers, folks. We go behind the numbers. We dig deep, okay? Real average weekly earnings are down almost 4%. So people are making less money, and things are costing way more. What happens when those two things collide? It can't be good. It can't be a good result, okay? People are suffering in this economy, especially lower and middle income people who, you know, have to buy basic groceries and services like electricity and so forth. And they want everybody, of course, to convert to electricity. You know, it's a crazy world that we live in. Just to put all this into perspective, though, let this sink in for a second. Gold. Let's talk about gold. Gold is known as one of the best hedges against inflation. Now, I'm not giving an advertisement for gold. You know, maybe if there are some gold sponsors out there, I'll entertain their advances. But inflation is known as a hidden tax. Gold is one of the best hedges against inflation. Inflation is a hidden tax because you pay it in the prices of all the things you buy, as I just illustrated. In 1929, the price of a troy ounce of gold was $20. There are 32.15 ounces in a 1 kilogram bar of gold. So again, roughly 32 ounces in a kilogram, and that equals 10 kilograms of gold, $6,430 for 10 kilograms, okay? At $20 an ounce. Today, or this week actually, let's see, I got a spot price on April 8th, okay? On April 8th, 2024, I checked the price of gold at 9:33 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. An ounce of gold was $2,344.90 per troy ounce. Now, gold was $20 a troy ounce in 1929. It's $2,344.90 per troy ounce now. That equals, for 10 kilograms of gold that was once worth $6,430, that equals $753,885.35 since 1929, from about $6,400 to over $753,000. Now, why does that happen? We'll get to that, but I just want you to know, the average home price in the USA in 1929 was about $4,902. So 10 kilos of gold would have gotten you a nice size home, better than average. The average home price in the United States today is $412,000. So 10 kilograms of gold today would get you a very nice size home as well in most places. It's not that gold went up in value so much. That's not my point. My point is that the dollar has lost 99.14% of its purchasing power since 1929 due to the printing of money and the expansion of the currency supply. They've devaluated gold. Here's the kicker. Property values didn't go up by 840.67%. It's that the dollar has lost 99% of its purchasing power in the past 95 years. Now, think about how our leaders took us off the gold standard way back when. You know, our dollar was shored up by the gold standard. It was preserving the value of purchasing power because it was linked to gold. They took us off the gold standard. You know, first Roosevelt banned gold from private ownership and forced people to turn in their gold and took away the gold certificates that were our currency, were gold certificates and silver certificates. And they took those away and replaced it with fiat currency. And then Nixon finally completely uncoupled us from the gold standard back in the 70s. I think it was 1973 or 74. So think about all the damage that they've done by their harmful policies, both old and new, and the impact it's had on the average American family. And that brings us to the issue that's on the top of my mind right now, and that's the issue of America's fall from grace. And how do we get it back? The trampling of our constitutional rights, the destruction of our system through deliberate steps taken by our very own government, by our quote-unquote elected officials who are supposed to be there as our representatives serving the people. Free speech has been damaged, to say the least. There's been widespread censorship of dissent by social media platforms that have been infiltrated by members of the weaponized Biden FBI and CIA and others. They've gotten in there and they've put their tentacles in and they've convinced these social media platforms to ban and censor any dissenting opinion that they don't like. And they're calling it misinformation. Well, it's not misinformation. It's just opinions that they don't like. How is that consistent with our constitutional rights? You know it's not. And how about equal protection under the law? Okay. We are promised equal protection under the law. I think it's the 14th Amendment. Equal protection is not being equally applied. For example, what about Trump's hush money case versus Clinton's payment of hush money? Bill Clinton paid over $800,000 to keep a woman silent when he was, you know, running for election. Okay. Nothing happened to Bill Clinton. They didn't take him to court. They're slamming Trump for paying, supposedly paying hush money, but it looks like Michael Cohen is the one that paid this woman, and there may have been some collusion between the two of them, the woman and Michael Cohen. And Cohen's a liar and a fraud, and he's gone to jail for a couple other things that were not related to Trump at all, like a taxicab medallion scam that he was running in New York City, and tax evasion, which had nothing to do with Donald Trump at all. So, you know, they say, well, he's in jail, something must be wrong. Well, yeah, he did some bad things, but it doesn't have anything to do with Trump, right? They're just trying to smear Trump with that guy's bad reputation. And how about the real Biden payoffs from Russia and Ukraine versus the trumped up imaginary accusations against Trump? Ultimately, been found to be utterly false and fraudulent, right? The Russia hoax, it was just that. It was a hoax, a conspiratorial hoax paid for by elements within the DNC and the Clinton affiliates, including Hillary Clinton's own campaign staff, to create a false narrative to smear Donald Trump. And they even hired foreign agents and former spies to dummy these things up and then, you know, get the media to report on it. And then they cited the report in the media based on the false story to get a FISA request approved to wiretap the Trump campaign and later to wiretap Trump as a seated president. Now, you know, you can't make this stuff up. This is cloak and dagger stuff. This is illegal, to the ultimate degree. And then we have the weaponization of our legal system and law enforcement. I mean, all of this lawfare, it's called, like warfare, but using the law as warfare, as a blunt object to punish Trump and all his key people and advisors who are affiliated with him. Now, I mentioned Michael Cohen. That's a kind of a special case because he's an unsavory character, and you know, maybe Trump shouldn't have used him as an attorney at all. But you know, Trump's got a whole raft of attorneys, and Cohen was just one of them. But Steve Bannon, okay, look what they did to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was charged with fraud in August 2020. You know why? Because he was raising money to build the border wall. Now, did he steal the money? No. Did some of the money pay for his personal travel expenses? Probably. Is that illegal? I don't think so. But they went after Steve Bannon, okay? Tom Barrack. Barrack was charged with 7 counts. The allegations center on the idea that Barrack used his relationship with Donald Trump to advance some interests to the United Arab Emirates while they say failing to notify the Attorney General that his comments and actions were taken at the direction of senior United Arab Emirates officials. Now, basically all he did was he asked the United Arab Emirates people to provide him with a wish list that if, you know, when Trump got in, he asked them, do they have a wish list that they would hope for from the Trump administration over the first 100 days of his presidency? He was just reporting back to his friend what the United Arab Emirates might like to see him talk about with them. So he's charged with acting under the direction or control of the United Arab Emirates over a course of years. I mean, come on. That's what the prosecutors wrote. You think he was working for the UAE, really? Or do you think he was just aiding in creating some diplomacy between our country and another one? And basically, and by the way, what did the UAE get in return for that? What did they get? Where's the evidence that something happened? And then we have Elliot Broidy. Now, Broidy was a top fundraiser in Trump's presidential campaign. But, you know, people raise money for their candidates. That doesn't mean that they're at the direction of the candidate. You know, he said that they accused him of conducting a secret lobbying campaign in exchange for millions of dollars. I mean, come on. He was charged with, they said, failing to register and disclose his role in a lobbying effort aimed at stopping a criminal investigation into a massive fraud at a Malaysian investment fund and advocating for the removal of a Chinese billionaire living in the U.S. I mean, are we not allowed to have our opinions and share them with people? And did it happen? Again, what's the evidence? Did it happen? Did he get things done? I mean, just because you say, listen, this is something that you might want to look at, doesn't mean you're lobbying somebody, right? Are you lobbying somebody, just having a conversation? I don't think so. And I mentioned Michael Cohen. He was sort of a one-time attorney for Trump, one of his many. But, you know, Cohen, they're trying to say that Cohen is somehow connected to Trump and, you know, was put in prison for his relationship and things he did for Trump. That's not true. Okay. That's completely untrue. That's complete gaslighting. Because Cohen went to jail for tax evasion, not related to Trump, making false statements to a federally insured bank, not related to Trump, causing an unlawful corporate contribution, not related to Trump, and making an excessive campaign contribution. which was also not related to Trump. None of these had anything to do with Trump, right? Cohen was involved in that taxi medallion scam. And, you know, even the hush money payments, so-called hush money payments, which are questionable because now it comes out, and I've heard some things that you know, he and Stormy Daniel may have even had a somewhat private relationship between the two of them, and they were trying to get something done there, maybe to extort Trump for some money. So it appears that those payments were made by Cohen himself, acting alone. He said so in a statement, and we know that the non-disclosure agreement that was hinging, that the money was hinging on, did not have Trump's signature or approval. So, what really happened there? And then there's Michael Flynn. Flynn spent a brief stint as Trump's national security advisor, but he was, you know, forced to resign. They went after him. You know, Flynn, being an intelligence officer in the military, he knew where a lot of the bones were buried. And he had some pretty broad and deep contacts all over the world, but also with Russia. And, you know, Flynn finally took a plea and admitted he lied to the FBI. But what the FBI did was something very dirty. They took a deposition from him, and like months and months later, they asked him to recount his deposition and without giving him a copy of the deposition that he had given them. So, you know, he couldn't remember, and he got a couple of the facts wrong, so they said he was lying, right? I mean, anybody could do that. If you make a testimony and you say some things, and then they, you know, months and months later, the case draws out, and you come back, and they say, you know, tell us again what you said. And he said, well, I think I said this, and I think I said that. And it doesn't quite line up, you know, maybe some dates and times, and, you know, he may have forgotten some things, all right? And then they say, well, you're lying. So you're lying to the FBI. Great. You know, they called him an unauthorized lobbyist. Again, this is the big, you know, catch-all that they try and bring these guys in for, unauthorized lobbying, whatever that means. Trump pardoned him anyway. And then there were a few others. Paul Manafort. I've met Paul Manafort. He's a good guy. I don't think he did anything wrong. They got him on conspiracy against the United States. I mean, you know, come on. He was sentenced to 47 months in prison, and Trump pardoned him. But really, what did Manafort do wrong? Can anybody tell me? You know, and then there was Roger Stone. I know Roger Stone. I've met with Roger Stone. We've talked about some things. He, you know, he spent years advising Trump and Nixon before Trump. He's advised a number of presidents. So he was affiliated with the 2016 campaign very briefly, but he was convicted again for lying to Congress because they, you know, they asked him some questions, and then they asked him to repeat what he said, and he couldn't remember everything that he said, and it may have come out a little differently, but you know, it's not lying, okay. Maybe it was inaccurate or a little incorrect, but it wasn't lying. He was pardoned by Trump, too. And then they went after the Trump Organization. Again, that was a travesty. So we're going to jump to a break. And when I come back, we're going to get back on the target subject matter of how did America fall so far so quickly and how we can get it back. Stay with us.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
The Wellness Company shares your values and fights for medical freedom. They put patients before profits and follow medical science, not political science like doctors on the left. Their chief medical board, which includes Dr. Peter McCullough, are the makers of the incredible American-made high-quality spike formula. If you worry about spike proteins, go to twc.health and use promo code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount. Once again, that's twc.health, promo code OUTLOUD.
We're back with Unleashed. I'm your host, Bruce Robertson. And before the break, we were discussing some of the interesting points about the case against Trump and things that are going on in our country and how our country has fallen from grace and, you know, what's going on. So how did America fall so far from grace? And how can we get it back? That's the major theme here today. How did we fall so far from God and allow godless people to rule our nation? You know, I saw an interview with a Muslim man recently, and he boldly stated that Muslims are outproducing other Americans, and Muslim Americans are, and, you know, that they will soon become a majority in many places, like the Detroit area and others. And that when they became a majority, he claimed that they would call for Sharia law in those areas. Now, the Muslim man, despite being somewhat misguided, he is right in some ways. Muslims are procreating and overtaking population here because they don't believe in homosexuality. They believe in having as many kids as they can. Sometimes they have a couple of wives as well. They believe in legalizing marriage. They don't believe in legalizing marriages between the same genders, which, as we know, cuts down on the birth rate of those who do that. So, you know, he came out and said that, and I couldn't help but notice that he's kind of right. He said the nation is not doing what God wants them to do. And when I thought about it, he's talking about Allah. But, you know, is the nation doing what God wants us to do from a Christian perspective? I think that's worth discussing. How did the Republicans and conservatives allow this fall from grace for so long? And can America be saved? What will it take to save America? Is there a silver lining in all of this? If there is, it's an increasing awareness that we need to wake up and change course because things are not being run properly and it's becoming very evident. You know, folks, in a way, COVID, the whole COVID fiasco, the whole plandemic, as they call it, we know it wasn't bat soup that caused COVID. We know that it wasn't some freak accident of a naturally occurring pathogen in the world. It was released from a laboratory, mainly in Wuhan, China, although it may have been released elsewhere and developed elsewhere as well. We know that the U.S. government funded some of the research that went into the development of the SARS-CoV virus. We know that they covered it up and they said no. You know, it was naturally occurring and it came from somebody who ate some bat soup somewhere in Wuhan, China, in a wet market. You remember that story? The media pushed that ad nauseum and it was a complete lie. Well, you know, in a way, all this COVID fraud, including the protocols, the masking, all this, I mean, it was all baloney, okay? The COVID protocols, the 6 feet distance, the masking, all these silly things, how you had to like separate yourselves from your families and so forth. All of that, and the fact that kids had to work from home, people took a breather and took a look at things and they took a look around. And they said, I don't like the way things are going here. It woke parents up to what was really going on in our school system. You know, and all the leftist indoctrination that was being shoveled to their kids ad nauseum. And, you know, then the parents protested at school board meetings, and that clued people in to how the FBI was targeting conservatives as terrorists. I mean, our own country. are, you know, parents just wanting the best for their kids, and they're terrorists because they're questioning the curriculums in the schools that their children attend. What a crime, right? In the meantime, the fact that so many people were on social media and started having their accounts shut down when they expressed their outrage and on a multitude of issues, not only how the country's being run, but all the COVID protocols and all this other stuff, and people are dying from the vaccines and all this other stuff. They, you know, people tried to share the truth about what was going on, and they were shut down and banned, and doctors were deplatformed, and experts, the scientists that didn't agree were deplatformed. They silenced any opposing commentary. And that clued people in to how the government was manipulating social media for censorship for their own purposes, to push their own propaganda. And that in itself is a form of propaganda, and a very insidious one, because it shapes public opinion by omitting and censoring the sharing of public opinion. Now, aren't we about free speech? If we are, let's go. If we're not, then let's not virtue signal and say we are. I mean, but we live according to a rule of law in the Constitution. The Constitution says freedom of speech. That means the right to say things that other people don't want to hear openly. As for the schools, a friend of mine recently said that parents should have known long before COVID what their kids were studying and what was in their curriculum. You know, she was adamant. She's a mom, and she was adamant. She was like, why would parents not look at their kids' curriculum? She said, I always do. Well, I know. A lot of parents, unfortunately, are not as responsible as my friend is. A lot of parents just assume their kids are being educated properly and leave it at that. You know, frankly, in today's dual-income households, the parents are way too busy to dig in, especially with all those inflation numbers that I cited, you know, trying to make ends meet. They're way too busy to dig in and see what their kids are learning or being taught or being told or being shown, for example. I think that was the beginning of the fall from grace recently, when moms started to realize, the recent fall from grace was when moms started to realize what their kids were learning. But the original beginning of the fall from grace, there was another, you know, it's in stages, right? The original beginning of the fall from grace was when mothers did not stay home anymore and look after their families. You know, as prices started to rise, as inflation started to go on, as spending created inflation and the dollar purchasing power declined and eroded, the moms in the homes, for example, usually it's a mom in the home that was taking care of the family. The mom in the home had to go out and get a second job, in addition to running the household. And, you know, so things got a little frantic and they didn't have time to pay attention to these things. And what suffered was that the family got somewhat neglected, and the children's education maybe was not paid enough attention to. A basic outline of how America fell from grace might be instructive here, and maybe some suggestions on how to get it back. A lot of this, in my opinion, has to do with turning away from God. The proliferation of abortion, a runaway government spending program that's been ongoing, okay? They just keep on churning out money. And the money is a fiat currency. It's not backed by anything. So there's no stability to the value of it. And it just goes, the purchasing power goes down and down and down as the printing presses go on and on and on. So the breakup of the family in inner cities due to absolutely ridiculous welfare rules and the expansion of programs that, for example, pay a single mother more than a married one. So, of course, the first thing she does is kicks the guy out of the house, and then the kids don't have two parents, and then maybe pulls the grandmother in to help out a little bit. But grandma's getting old. You know, she can't do everything she used to be able to do. And So there's this whole division of the American nuclear family. This all started with Lyndon Johnson and his Great Society and the War on Poverty. It was a big expansion of the welfare system that was basically designed to create mass dependency on government. And, you know, it also created a ready-made voting bloc for all those who would continue to vote for the expensive and expansive welfare policies. And it took a punishing toll on working people. It created more poverty. So the war on poverty created poverty, just like the war on drugs created a greater proliferation of drugs. Isn't that funny the way those things are named and they wind up being the opposite? But you'll find out that the left plays this opposite game all the time. They call it something and it winds up being the exact opposite. You know, they call it the, you know, civil rights bill. And it turns out not to be a civil rights bill. It turns out to be the opposite of civil rights. So not producing children will end civilization. We know that. That's why they want kids to change gender, take hormones to become sterile, birth control, etc. This will end the power of Americans to produce new Americans. But you know the left has a solution, right? They want to replace us. And that's the reason for the open borders. That's the reason for all the influx of outproducing Muslims that they're bringing in. That takes us back to the Muslim story, you know, because the Muslim people, Muslim Americans, you know, we have freedom of religion here. They have a right to practice it. But, you know, they often have more than one wife, and each wife has maybe 5 to 7 children. And then you wind up with cities, entire cities, with Muslim administrations and Muslim mayors and eventually Sharia law. Don't think it can't happen. They're already teaching Sharia law in our Ivy League institutions. Harvard has a Sharia law course in their law school. So they're trying to preserve their power. I see what they're doing. It makes sense. I mean, they have rational self-interest. But Americans are losing power at the same time in numbers. And also in their willingness to follow the natural laws of how God made us and what he wants us to do. Now, if you want more of something in my field, economics, it's well known that you subsidize it. If you want less of something, you tax it. And you can tax it into oblivion and it will go away. Right now, we are subsidizing poverty. And we are taxing prosperity and wealth production. I want you to think about that. We're subsidizing poverty and we're taxing prosperity and wealth production. If we continue down this path, as we are seeing now, the results will be disastrous. That's my prediction. And it's not just mine. It's been going on since Hayek wrote, the Road to Serfdom. If you want to read the Austrian School of Economics, leading economist, Friedrich Hayek, you'll see in The Road to Serfdom, he predicted this. Von Mises also predicted it. So removing God from the public square, removing God from our government buildings and from our schools has had the effect of removing morality from our nation. When our Constitution was written, the founding fathers were all God-fearing men. They expected people to act morally, and the Constitution was written with that key premise and assumption in mind. It was inconceivable to the founders that our nation would ever turn from God. Our nation was founded by Puritans that came over here for religious freedom. And their belief in God. They prayed. They spoke. They read the Bible. They attended church. And our founding fathers were all from that tradition. So it was inconceivable that we would turn from God. None of this works as the founders intended if morality is removed from the public square and from public discourse. And this wrenching of morality and wrenching of God from the public square has been accomplished by certain atheist factions who took the simple concept laid down by our fathers that stated that the government is prohibited from creating a national religion. So what did they turn that into? Well, they gave it a label. The label doesn't exist in the Constitution or any of our founding documents. Government is prohibited from creating a national religion because they want freedom of religion. Okay, makes sense. However, they twisted that document into a doctrine called separation of church and state. Their words, not the Constitution's. Under this doctrine, it was said that religion has no place in the public square or in our schools or in our halls of government or in public life at all. So how do we get back? How do we make America great again? Well, I have a couple of suggestions. First of all, we have to stop runaway spending, which is eroding our purchasing power of our currency. Okay? It's an additional tax, and it's a heavy one. It's heavier than the income tax. If you add it up and compound it, it's really had a devastating effect on our nation and our ability of our people to get on their feet and stand up and take care of themselves. And if that, of course, leads to a dependency agenda, which they love because then they can buy the votes of all those dependent on government and the welfare programs, right? Vote our way or we're going to take your welfare check away. Isn't that the way it works? Also, I believe that we should return to some sort of gold standard. And, you know, people will argue the case, but we should have that national debate on the gold standard, and it should be serious. We should also cut government waste. There's a tremendous amount of waste, billions and billions of dollars. Rand Paul does a report every year, and it is shocking how much money we waste. You know, the bumblebee sexual proclivities in the Amazon, we're spending millions of dollars on stuff like that, you know, silly things like that. So stop financing foreign aid programs, stop financing foreign wars. Let's get our house in order first before we take a little adventure overseas. Also, encourage and incentivize wealth creation rather than taxing and penalizing it to redistribute it. That's a good idea, in my opinion. We should stop subsidizing poverty. We should subsidize instead wealth creation and penalize poverty to a certain extent by disincentivizing. We should by now see that subsidizing poverty does not work. The Great Society failed. The war on drugs failed. All these big programs failed. Get tough on crime and illegal immigration. Take a big chunk out of that. Make our streets more peaceful and people can live in harmony and peace and you know, take care of their families. Encourage marriage and families and give incentives for families to stay together and prosper. And also encourage and incentivize personal responsibility and penalize irresponsibility. And teach Judeo-Christian morals and values in our schools because that's what our nation was founded upon. And return the power back to the people by fixing our corrupt and broken voting system. And finally, repent and return to God as a nation. I'll close by sharing a quote with you from the English writer and philosopher Aldous Huxley, known for his famous book, Brave New World. He said, quote, "The greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing more than to be told what to do. Provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and cherished beliefs, it is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled." I'm Bruce Robertson, and this is Unleashed. Help us unleash the truth.